Monday morning to you. It's 8:41, 46 degrees, and you've landed right here on Palmetto Mornings, your home for news talk and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
We always love to welcome in our listeners who are listening on the radio, FM 100.1, AM 1340. Those who are listening on any kind of mobile device, you can do so by downloading the free WRHI app. Download the app, take us on the go, you'll be in the know. You're also listening to us on WRHI.com, but there's more. You can still watch this wonderful program with your own eyes. That's right, you can watch a radio program by logging on and checking out CN2, that's Comporium Cable Channel 102, as well as our other major social media channels by simply following WRHI and CN2. The York County area, really the Tri-County area, well, they continue to clean up after Saturday's storm, whatever you want to call it. Again, the National Weather Service, they're going to have boots on the ground here any minute to survey the damage. It's either going to be a tornado, a macro burst, a micro burst, or a downburst. Now, I am no scientist, that we play one often on this show, but I'm not even going to swim in that part of the pool and seem to translate what all that means to you all. I think Chuck Haynes, the director of York County Emergency Management, did a fantastic job describing that to us earlier this morning. You can go back and listen to his report. But once we get that information handed off to us, we're going to, of course, send it on to you so we can all become educated. But I think the theme of Saturday's weather was it just really seemed to come out of nowhere. It was seemed like, bam, here you go. So Mother Nature said, not so fast. I still have some fun left to be had. But of course, we know when disaster strikes, York Electric Cooperative, they're among the first that are right there, boots on the ground helping. And we're always excited to welcome them in, on to Palmetto Mornings. We've got Porter Gable. She's Vice President of Communications and Outreach for York Electric Cooperative. And good morning to you, Portal.
It's okay. I'm used to all the things. Good morning, Lucas and Ashley. Thank you
good
for
morning.
Having me.
Welcome.
Portal, that's probably a new one, hopefully. But I mean, gosh, if we know we have been working the phones and lining up guests, I can only imagine what the last 24, 48 hours have been like for you and all of your crews.
Luckily, we were able to restore power for everybody a little after 24 hours from the storm. We call it the mini hurricane because that's basically what it was. We've seen stuff like this before, straight line winds and big damage, but this was a unique situation. It was a very specific area. We saw a lot of broken poles, around 20 broken poles, 4,500 members without power at the height of the storm. And just thankful that the good Lord protected our guys, protected our out-of-town guests, that helped us restore power to all of our members, and really thank our members for their patience during that time.
Well, let's do brag not only on your employees, but also the key is in the title of what you all do, York Electric Cooperative, and how you all band together in times like this.
We're member-owned, and members come first always. We're always looking out for our members, and one of the seven cooperative principles is looking out for the community, which is what we do, and then more importantly, cooperation among cooperatives, and that really comes into play when storms happen, because we call on our friends and our neighbors, other co-ops. So Broad River Electric Cooperative, right next door to us, came to help, as well as Union Power Electric Cooperative from North Carolina.
And we have repaid the same favor before.
So many times. We're lucky in our state because usually when we have damage, other cooperatives do not. And likewise, if the coast sees damage, then we're first to say we're there to help.
It's amazing. I mean,
and how many cooperatives do we have in the state of South Carolina?
We have 19 electric cooperatives in the state.
When it comes to restoring power, of course, we live in a community or we live in a time that we want things and we want it now.
Oh, yeah.
So when we're without power or the internet, we're like, what?
What do you do?
It's like being back on Little House on the Prairie. What would you like our audience to know when it comes to when the power is down or the power is off? What is the education piece that you would like to maybe explain
sure.
to all of us?
A few things. Number one, know that your cooperative is aiming to have boots on the ground trying to locate the problem 365, 24/7 within 1 hour. And guys, that's really impressive because we're locals that are looking out for you. So our power might be out too, but we're leaving our family and we're saying, hey, this is what we're called to do. because we're impacting our community, that piece of looking out for the community is very important. So our guys are out. We're doing our job. We're getting the lights back on. And it depends on what you see. Hey, Manning. it depends on what you see. So if it's a little thunderstorm, then you might have a small pine tree on the line, and that restoration time might be in 30 minutes. But straight line winds, microburst, macroburst, tornado, whatever this beast was that we saw Saturday afternoon, that's going to involve bigger trees and bigger problems. Mm. So you're looking at cutting up wood and getting those lines that are torn down and broken poles that are torn in half restored and replaced. So your outage restoration time increases from 30 minutes, small problem, small thunderstorm, to a lot longer. You're looking at 6 hours roughly to replace a pole.
Mm.
Let me tell you, because I'm moving over here to the TV guys.
All right, man. Come on over here.
York Electric Co-op was just unbelievable. My wife wanted to call. I said, don't bother to call. They've got the electronics. They'll know we're out. And they knew we're out. A couple hours later, up comes a truck. The worker gets out of there with his helmets and his lights on. And he says, oh, my God. He said, I thought it was bad in York. This is terrible. I have the wrong driveway. So he went around. Long story short, I have the right-of-way right behind my property. And I watched these men and women for 6 hours up and down that, trying to figure out what the heck the problem was, how to get it back restored. And at 2:02 a.m., power came back on. Boom!
Yeah.
But I kept thinking, my gosh, what does it take to be one of these utility workers to go out there in this mess in the middle of the night and do what they do, messing with high voltage? Really? Really? Thank you, Co-op, Duke, City Rock Hill, all you people who do this stuff.
And we said that earlier, and we've said that with Tyson and with Jimmy, that last Thursday was National Line Workers Day.
It was.
So this was a great way for us to appreciate. You know, we don't really understand what that power is for us every day until we don't have it. And Porter, you brought up another great point. They were leaving their homes and their families with no power to go help customers and members who didn't have power. So that's a huge, you know, like our law enforcement, you know, it goes unappreciated. And so I think a storm like this was very fitting that it happened when it happened, and we certainly appreciate all of the work.
Today.
That's right. We will, yes.
Porter, in addition to what we had, which was rain and wind, and again, depending on where you lived, either trees were completely uprooted or snapped in half. You had all that. But this storm also produced very strange hail.
Yes.
What kind of obstacle or challenge does that pose to like workers when we have like hail? Because it's damaging, right? I mean, it's one thing for a tree to be on a power line. You all know that.
Right.
But like hail also brings a different type of damage.
So hail can break our equipment that's on the pole. We do have half of our system underground, which is a blessing in most cases. But those overhead lines that are unprotected, and that's risky just to see if a tree can take down the line. A tree can break the pole, and hail can damage that equipment. Not to mention, it's dangerous for our linemen to be out in that condition. But they're not scared of that. They're ready to get the power back on.
That's right.
I will say that it's really unique working for a co-op where if a storm happens, you're immediately looking at your phone no matter what your job is. And it takes everybody at that co-op to make sure that we're taking care of the member.
Wow. Well, you guys have been doing it successfully for so long. And I know coming up here in May, it's a chance to celebrate all that, right, with your big celebration.
Yes.
That's coming up in May with your big annual meeting, your 83rd annual meeting.
Our virtual business meeting is going to be on May the 4th. So we did capitalize on May the 4th be with you. And Lucas will be our MC for that meeting.
I had a blast last time. Yes. We had so much fun. It was really a good time to see everyone. And it really goes to show what a community York Electric Co-op and a family you all are.
Of course.
It's wonderful to see.
Our members will have three opportunities to register and vote to earn their $25 bill credit. But also, remember, we're democratically controlled. So you can go and cast your vote for the Board of Trustees. And that will be May the 1st in TKK, May the 3rd in York at our main office from 7 to 7, and then May the 4th from 9 until 12.
Porter Gable, again, is Vice President of Communications and Outreach for York Electric Cooperative. Porter, thank you so much for this update, and glad everyone is safe and sound and happy there in York. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.